Well, we'll do some rolling through the Word, and I would suggest that if you have a pencil and paper, that maybe you try to copy down the passages, but not necessarily turn to all the Scriptures. I like to back up what I say from the Word of God, and we'll be going through it quite in a large measure this morning. I thought the three subjects that we would cover this week would be God, knowing God, and God is Jesus Christ. We'll see from the Scriptures in Hebrews 1:8. I and my Father are one. And then we'll be looking at the person of Jesus Christ tonight. He's worthy to be worshipped and to be served. And then the third was the enablement, the person of the Holy Spirit. So we'll be covering God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Over in one book, in the fourth chapter, in the 12th verse, it says that a threefold cord is not soon broken. And let's turn in our Bibles for just one moment to one passage, and then we'll be sharing some others in Romans, and we see these three together. In the 9th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, but you are not in the flesh, you're not in Adam, you're not totally in the old nature, for you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so the Spirit of God dwell in you, or live in you, or reside in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We see God, we see Jesus, and we see the Holy Spirit. And you know the theme in John 12, verse 20. There were some fellows that came looking for Jesus. And the main thing that we're to do when we go to the Word of God, we're to look for Jesus. Every time we open the pages, we're to look for Jesus. And Jesus means Jehovah. J-E is Jehovah. Jehovah God. Jehovah saves. So Jesus is Jehovah. These men came in the presence of Jesus, and their message was to Andrew, sirs, we would see Jesus. And I think that's what we'd like to do this morning, although we'll be talking about God, that we have to see definitely that Jesus is God. In Hebrews, the first chapter, in the 8th verse, just to get started right here, we see that God addresses His Son as God. I don't know how you can get any more basic than that in the 8th verse of the first chapter of Hebrews. But unto the Son He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. And through the Scriptures, if you really study it, you'll see that Jesus is God. God is Jesus. I and my Father are one, and we'll cover that a lot better tonight. But let's look at Hebrews 2:9 to get our eyes focused on Jesus. But we see Jesus. You know, we could never see Jesus apart from the Spirit of God showing us Jesus. We can't just go find Him anywhere we want to. The Spirit of God has been specially appointed to show us Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, unto Christ's likeness, to make the author or the captain or the leader of their salvation perfect or mature through suffering. So we'll be looking at Him this morning. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is just kind of an introduction so that we'll get focused on the right person. If you want your life changed, you're going to have to look at Jesus. You're going to have to focus on Jesus. You're going to have to put a steady gaze on Christ. And we find that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all of us that have embraced the name of Jesus, everyone that has invited Jesus Christ into their heart, they don't have this veil of unbelief now over their face. They can look straight into the face of Jesus. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, or in a glass, or in the Bible, the glory of the Lord. That's all the attributes of God. Glory is every attribute of God. The glory of the Lord, or the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. If you've come to this conference and you said, I want to be changed. I don't want to go back to the same person. Then you're going to have to start looking at Jesus. Looking away unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And he has a little pattern here if you really want your life changed. Number one, go to the Word of God and start gazing at Jesus, looking at Jesus, meditating on Jesus, pondering on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And then what does he say will happen? That the Spirit of God will take Jesus off the page and make him real in your own life. That's the Spirit of God's work. You can't really change. It takes the Spirit of God to bring about that change. They have to be a desire from the Spirit of God. It takes four things. Then you've got to have the Word of God. You've got to look at Jesus. You've got to depend upon the Spirit. And then you are the one that has to do the gazing. But the changing here is passive. The Spirit of God will do that. That's his job, to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus. Then maybe one other verse before we start to our passage today is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. That we see we're looking straight into the face of Jesus. When you go to the Bible, you're looking right at Jesus, right into his face. The sixth verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, for God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Who's going to reveal God? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as you look at Jesus and the Word, the Spirit of God will make you more and more like Jesus. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about really loving God, walking with God, knowing God. You know, we talk a lot about God, but do we really know God? And you cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. God is, you just can't find him out. With all your searching, you can't find him out apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to know God, you've got to know Jesus. Well, let's turn over to a good passage in Psalms 42, and we'll start there this morning and go as far as our time will allot us. This is a passage that I really like, and I go here quite often to get refreshed in just loving God and serving God and walking with God, being taken up with God. That's what the Christian life is all about, is being taken up with God on the basis of Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, a man told me a number of years ago that God is the author of all blessings. He's the author of all blessings. Jesus is the basis of all blessings. The Holy Spirit is the producer, and I'm just the cooperator. See, I'm down on the tail end. The Godhead, all I have to do is cooperate with the Godhead and give each one their dues. I remember in Germany that I was always so jealous of Jesus, jealous of Jesus, jealous of Jesus. I was afraid to read anything. It wasn't just Jesus. And then a little later, the Lord brought me out that if I'm going to be jealous of Jesus, I better give room for the Holy Spirit to do his work, because he's the one that shows Jesus. And so now I'm really wanting to give God all his dues through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at this passage. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's an as and a so in there. As the hart, H-A-R-T, deer, as the deer panteth or longeth or thirsteth after water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's a strong desire. That's a deep desire. Only the Spirit of God can really bring that kind of desire that you want to know God like that. Here we see this hart undoubtedly running for its life, and it has to have water to be satisfied and water for even its very existence. And he says that's kind of the desire that we've got to have for God. like Paul had in Romans 10:1. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. Is our real innermost being longing after God? Do we really want to know God? I find as I go to different training programs and speak that I believe inside that everyone really wants to know God. They want to be in fellowship with God. They don't really know how to do it. But there's something that God has put inside of us that we really want to know God. And we've got to make sure that we get in Jesus so that we can see God. As the heart longeth or thirsteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul. I like this. So panteth my soul. That's personal. That's individual. That's my relationship. I want a relationship that's solid with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God. So panteth my soul. Not that my men need to know God. I need to know God. I need to have some reality with God. And if I show reality, they're going to catch it. I think it's more caught than it's taught. When they see you've got a heart for God and you love Jesus, they'll fall in line. So panteth my soul. And here he says, your total being, every bit of you, your mind, your emotion, and your will. Is your mind on Jesus? Are your emotions wrapped up in Jesus? And is your will captured by Jesus? We're to be captured, our total being, our heart, our soul. And we're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. I don't see anything left out. That's all of me. When you get my heart and you get my soul and you get me, that's me. As the heart panteth after the water brook. You know, as the water will satisfy and the water will quench. God has given us four things in the Word to us will quench our thirst. He says, God will do it. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. Well, God will quench it. How do we get to God? Well, the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:26, he says, by the washing of the water, by the Word. We need the Word of God. And then Christ in John, the fourth chapter, in John, I believe it's the fourth chapter, 14th verse, he is the water. And then as we look in John, the seventh chapter, the Spirit is water. So we have God, we have the Word, we have Christ, and we have the Spirit. And he said, boy, if we come to Jesus, that we're not going to thirst anymore. So we need to come to Jesus. And he says, if you really are rightly related to the Spirit of God after you come to Jesus, you're under the control of the Spirit. He says, out of you is going to flow rivers of living water. I know overseas I got tired of dripping. I wanted to flow. And this is the way you're going to flow. Not drip, but flow. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's interesting. He said, my soul is captured by God alone. That's what that says right there. Only God. Not 15 other things. Only God. So panteth my soul after thee and only thee, O God. In Psalms, I believe it's 62:5 is a good verse along this line. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Where is your expectation from? Where is your confident expectation? Where have you got your trust? Where have you got your hope? Where have you got your faith? The psalmist said, my mind, my emotion, and my will, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from God. I'd say that's God-centered. And then if we see that we need this type of an intense desire. And as I reflect back, say 20 years ago, I don't remember sitting around trying to drum it up. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to serve God. Boy, as I was exposed to the Word of God, I got a hunger and a thirst after God. And you know, then God gave me a greater desire for the Word of God. As I looked at Christ in the Scripture, my thirst for God, my hunger for God, wanting to know God grew. Then that made a dependence upon God. Then that brought me in fellowship with people of God. And then I just started sharing what I was seeing in the Word of God. And you know, it was long before I knew that that was witnessing. I just went in there, got a good look at him, got full of him, and then it went out, and everything that I touched, you know, was like water out of a sponge. They get wet when they touch me. And that's the way that we want to be. Be wrapped up with Jesus, full of Jesus. So no matter where you go, you're going to give a word in season and out of season. You're going to help people. You can't help it if you're full of the Lord Jesus. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The objective I see here is to worship God. The goal here is to know God. And the aim is to serve God. Let's look at the second verse. My soul thirsteth for God. Where is our longing? Where is our thirst? Where is our hunger? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. It's interesting here. You don't thirst for any God. You thirst for the living God. You're thirsting for the resurrected Christ in all his power and in all his glory. My thirst is for God, for the living God. As we look at 1 Thess 1:9, we see that the people were converted to a living God. Not a form, not just a philosophy of life, but they were converted to the living God and their lives shaped up because they came in contact with life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And you get that from the living God. 1 Thess 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Not a false God, but the true and living God. Jesus is the true and living God. So if we come in contact with a living God and a true God, then our lives are going to start changing. And that's what we really want in our lives. We want to be Christ-like. We want to be like God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In the Old Testament, over and over, Job said, where can I find him? Where can I find him? I want the presence of God. Where can I find God? We find him in Jesus. Jesus is God. Where shall I come? When shall I come and appear before him? In the Old Testament, in Exodus 23:17, they were commanded to come up 3 times a year. The Bible says that we're in his presence 24 hours a day, and we have free access through the throne of grace moment by moment, every second, every minute, every hour, 24 hours a day. Even in our sleep, you know, the Bible says that the songs will be going through, or the word will be going through, the mind will be working and worshiping the Lord. When shall I come and appear before God? Let's look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Oh, I like that. I don't want to get what I deserve. How many here want to get what you deserve? Not me. The word mercy means that by God's loving, tender care, he keeps you from getting what you deserve. We are stinkers. That's what we are. And God, if he dealt with us on the basis of everything we did every day, we'd be sunk. But he says, my grace gives you what you don't deserve, and my mercy keeps you from getting what you do deserve. Man, I like that. Grace, I can expect things from his grace and expect his loving, tender care to keep the things giving me what I really deserve. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are needy people. Psalms 86 has been a real blessing to me recently. Turn to Psalms 86 with this same thought. I know all of us have needs, and I venture to say some person has come to this conference and said, well, if it doesn't work this time, I'm hanging it up. When I go back, I'm finished. Or somebody said, man, I hope I can hold out to that conference this weekend. Boy, I hope I can make it. Somebody hold me up till I can get to that conference and get a transfusion. And then maybe I can make it. Look at 86. He says, bow down thine ear, Oh, Lord, and hear me. Boy, we want to have an audience with the Lord. We want to get the Lord's ear. Bow down thy ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Now, if you're a Christian, you are poor and needy. There's many needs in your life. And if you would tell me, it'd take all day for all of you to tell me everything that you want straightened out in your life, all the needs in your life. It'd take you all day to tell me. For I am poor and needy. But look at the next thing. You need to recognize your inadequacies, but you need to see that you're something in Jesus, that you are holy, and you go from the place that you're holy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Boy, I'm righteous in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that made me made the righteousness of God in him. I'm holy in him. O thou my God, save thy servant who trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul? For thy Lord art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them who call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. That's been a real blessing to me recently. Knowing his goodness, knowing his forgiveness, knowing his mercy, knowing his grace, and that he's plenteous in mercy, plenteous in grace. It never runs out. The food runs out sometime, but his mercy and grace never run out. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? All the time. All the time. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Has anybody ever asked you that? I mean, as they observe your life or the situation that you're in, and it said, where is thy God? Where is this God that you're talking about that's so strong and so loving and so merciful and so kind and so gracious? See, David had sinned, and now Saul was after him, and he was trying to get his life, take his life from him, because he had lost his testimony at this time. Where is thy God? You know, we talk about Moses' God. We talk about Abraham's God. We talk about Joseph's God. We talk about David's God. I want to talk about my God and your God. Where is thy God? Can people really see him in your life, day by day, moment by moment? Are you the very savor of Christ, the perfume of Christ, the aroma of Christ? If you are, people will gravitate towards you. But here, he was running from his life for his life. People were mocking him because he had not lived up to to what God had really put inside of him. Where is thy God? And then, when we do sometimes stumble and we do fall, and we think, well, boy, I've lost my testimony as far as this group is concerned. Look what he did. He said, when I remember the things, I pour out my soul in them. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. He can think back. He said, I'm remembering when I used to be with a group that was on fire, a group that loved God, the group that was serving God, worshiping God. I went unto them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise. Those are two characteristics of the Spirit-filled life. A joyful Christian and one who's praising God, speaking well of God at all times. He said there was a time when I had joy in my life. There was a time when I was praising God. There was a time when I was thanking him for everything that has come into my life. He stopped, he thought, he meditated, he pondered. And he said, boy, wasn't that rich back there? There was joy. He says there was peace. He said there was satisfaction. I was in a group that were going in the right direction. And then he looks down in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, we get in bad shape sometime. And we get self-pity. And we think, well, is God dead, or God's not working, or the heavens seem to be closed up to me? He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And look at the solution. Keep looking at your problems? No, you don't keep digging in the garbage can if you won't help. He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. If you're having a little difficult problem, you're having a few troubles, or you slipped a few times, you hope in God. Have a confident expectation in God, looking away unto the hills from whence cometh your help. You're not going to find it there inside, looking at all your troubles, being under all the circumstances. Just meditating on them, they'll grow if you meditate on them. You got to look away unto Jesus. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. Lamentations is a tremendous verse along this, where Jeremiah said, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. Jeremiah 7:17 says the same thing. Hope thou in God. Where is your confident expectation? Where is your faith? It's got to be in God. Hope thou in God. And then verse 6. He says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. So what you need to do is to meditate on the time when you were right with God, you were fellowshipping God, when you had the joy of God, you were blessing God. He says, reflect back on the good days. And then he says in 7, deep calleth unto deep. He doesn't do surface work. He does deep work. He gets down in the heart. He'll go through the mind, into the motions to get down to our will, down to our innermost being. And deep calleth unto deep. Let's look at Psalms 27 just to see that. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple. And look down in 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. See, God wants our worship. He wants our praise. He wants to walk with him. He wants to be intimate with us. But we are the responders. He's the aggressor. He takes the initiative, and we have to be the responders. All right, back to 42. So it's a deep thing. He calls and we respond. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. I think that in the Old Testament, he guided them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. And here he says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. He's going to command it. It's coming. His loving kindness is really coming. He's going to put it out. Loving kindness. Our loving graciousness, our loving grace in the daytime. And in the night, his song. I think of the Psalms. Song, and his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life shall be with me. His presence is with us day and night, 24 hours a day. We need to meditate upon his presence. He is in us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If there's only one person, it's a majority. Because you have the Spirit in you, you have God in you, you have Jesus Christ in you. And a threefold cord is not soon broken. Verse 9, here I see a decision. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Well, who is the rock? 1 Corinthians 10:4 says it's Christ. Christ is our rock. You can't build any foundation other than building it upon a rock if you hope it to stand. And then down in verse 11, I will say unto God, my rock is in 9 and 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health or the salvation of my countenance and my God. Look over at 43:5. He gives us the same thing. He won't let us get away. It's hope in God, hope in God, hope in God. Have a confident expectation in God. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Let's go back to Hebrews 1:8 again and see who we've been talking about all this time in 1 verse 8. I believe we can trust God to say what he means, and he means what he says in 1:8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So here we've been talking about getting to know Jesus Christ. All right, let's turn to Psalm 63. I hope we can see that we need to know God, be in fellowship with God, be hungry for God, have a confidence in God, and when we are speaking, we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we just find the same thing, just going a little further and a little deeper. In the 63rd, 20 times in 11 verses, he talks about God, or thee, or thou, are they. And 20 times, I'd say this is a God-centered passage. And we need to be God-centered and Christ-centered and Spirit-centered. We keep firing away at the center of the wheel, the navigator wheel, if you're all familiar, that Christ is the center. It's the Spirit-filled, Christ-centered life. It's full of God. Verse 1 of 63, he starts out again, O God. Or here we can say, O Son of God, thou art my God. You know, when I was 12 years old, a man explained to me the Roman road, that I was a sinner, that Jesus died for sinners, and that if I'd invite Jesus into my heart, he'd give me everlasting life. At age 12, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. He came in. He came in to stay. He's there. And I have that relationship. Do you have that relationship? Can you really say, O God, thou art my God? You can't apart from Jesus. Because you can only know God through Jesus, and you can only know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And how are you going to get in touch? Through the Word of God. See how they work together? O God, thou art my God. I have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then the psalmist said, early will I seek thee. Early means give him the priority. At the earliest possible time, come to know Jesus. In your youth, it says in Lamentations 3:27, take the yoke of God upon you in your youth. I think it ought to be first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in Psalms 5:3, he says, early in the morning. Are you putting him first? Are you giving the priority in your life? Are you seeking him early? Or does he get the tail end of the day? I think it makes a difference when we start out with God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee and only thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And you know, there's going to be, the Bible tells us that one day there's going to be an absence even of the Word of God. It's going to be scarce to hear a message like you're hearing this morning. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Let's turn in Amos. If I can find Amos here. 8th chapter in the 11th and 12th verse. I mean, we take for granted, we hear the Word, we hear about God, we hear about Christ, we hear about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, being under control of the Spirit. But he said there's coming a day when there's going to be a scarcity of hearing this message. In 8, 11, and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Boy, if you got a few verses memorized, you know a little word, man, that's precious. That's going to be a precious commodity. It's going to be a scarcity. You know, like gold today, it's gone sky high. Boy, if you got that precious nuggets and that silver and the gold and the word down in there, man, that's going to be something precious. But of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Man, I'm not going to lose a lot of time with frivolous things. I'm going to put the word in there. That's precious. That's going to be scarce. I'm going to have it. And I can have a fellowship with God no matter where I end up. I can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that is precious. Back to Psalm 63. I hope you're getting to see the really preciousness of seeing God through Jesus Christ and through the Spirit and by the Word of God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What did he want to see? What was it he really wanted to see? We find the reason. He says, to see thy power. Well, down in the other chapter, 62:11, it says, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Boy, he says you can have power. But it's got to be power that's under control. It has to be under his control. Well, I can remember back in Shreveport 20 years ago down on my knees praying for power. You know, God, give me power, give me power, give me power. And as it scares me as I think back, wonder if he had done that 20 years ago. I'd have torn Shreveport apart. I'd have gone through there sideways like a truck. See, I would have. I was looking for power. Power, power, power. Wouldn't have been much grace or kindness. I wanted to roar through, you know, and straighten everybody out. That's not the kind of power he's talking about. To see thy power. Let me show you in Colossians the kind of power that he's really talking about. Colossians, and we don't show much of this. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience. Oh, man. Woo, patience. All patience. He said it enough. He just said patience. He says all patience and long suffering. I looked that up. That means to suffer long. You can't cut it short. Suffer long. How? With joyfulness. You know, we talk about, boy, the fruits of the Spirit. I look for a person who's got a little patience, a little forbearance. And how long does he suffer? You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm redheaded. That's why I just blew off. No, it wasn't a problem. It was the old nature. It wasn't under control of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't any patience. There wasn't any long suffering. I hate to see a guy get up and brag on how short-tempered he is. You know what that says? He's saying, boy, look how little I have of Jesus. He said, he's not showing much in my life, and I'm proud of it. Don't brag about being impatient. That's carnality. That's out of the old nature. That's out of the flesh nature. See, that's opposite. Love is patient, long-suffering, forbearing, merciful, gracious, kind. So that kind of power, your patience, forbearance, long-suffering, I think is what he's talking about, the psalmist here. And then he says, to see thy power and thy glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 again. Glory has to do with all the attributes of God. How much of the character of God is showing through your life? That's what he's talking about, glory. All the attributes of God. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary. If you've ever been closer to the Lord than you are right now, you're a backslider. And you need to confess that and say that you're a backslider and say, I want to see your power and your glory so that I can speak well of you and get a hearing from folk. Have you ever been warmer than you are right now? Well, then you backslid. You've moved away from God. I see on a bumper sticker every once, somebody moved. Guess who moved? You know, if anybody moved, it's you. God didn't. We have to move away from him. He's always moving up to us. I like what one man said. He stayed so close to God that he couldn't whip him. That's not too bad, is it? Have you ever tried to, somebody try to whip your mother or dad and you stay so close they can't get that switch going or that thing going? But he says we need to stay that close to God all the time. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, man, if we can just taste of his loving kindness, his grace. He says that is better than physical life. You know, we want our lives, don't we? Boy, we believe in self-preservation. But he said, boy, in tasting his grace
And his loving kindness is better than physical life. Do you really believe that? That his loving kindness is better than life. And my lips shall praise thee. I wrote out in my Bible, apply this. Apply it. What can I do? My lips shall praise thee. And you know, if I'm praising God and I'm thanking God and I'm rejoicing in God, you know what I notice cuts down? My critical spirit. My judging spirit. And again, a threefold cord is not soon broken. If you're praising Him and thanking Him and rejoicing in Him, you don't have much time for criticizing and judging other folk. So we ought to be taken up with praising and thanking and rejoicing. So there's an application. Praise Him today. That means to thank Him for all that He is. And then down in the next verse, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will speak well of thee while I'm in this body. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And I've got out here again, apply. I will speak well of the Lord. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I'm going to stay under His control. I'm going to be dependent on Him. I'm going to keep looking away unto Jesus. And five, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You know, marrow is what you can't see inside the bone. It's kind of that soft. And it's like a spinal cord. You know, a man without a spinal cord is not doing too good. My son works there in the hospital of all of these sailors and army and all the folks who've had spinal injuries. They're in the hospital in Long Beach. And you know, they don't go very far. They don't do much without a spinal cord. And he says this, my soul shall be satisfied. It means it's something that is absolutely essential, as with that which is essential. And fatness. Boy, that's like, I like strawberry shortcake. But you know what the fatness is all that whipped cream on the top. And that's what he's talking about. The whipped cream on the Christian life. Not life. The more abundant life. And here recently, I just caught myself. I go in and I'm trying to lose weight, and I go in and I get a half of a hot fudge sundae. And I say, cut the whipped cream. And it does something for my conscience. Or I go up and I get me a piece of candy, and then I get a cola, you know, that's diet cola. And then I say, man, look, what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to kid myself. All right, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I got out and apply this. What am I doing with my lips? What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my mouth? This is when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I think some of the richest times that I have are when I'm just laying in the bed and I'm meditating, I'm thinking, I got my mind on the Lord. Those are rich times. That this morning I was just laying there before that clock went off, just thinking on Jesus, thinking on the Lord, thinking who He is, committing things to Him. Those are precious times. I remember when I was in Kaiserslautern, I used to go into a little room off of our bed, off our bedroom. And I would get on my knees, and I wouldn't go into this place and just start talking. You know, I found myself trying to snow the Lord. Do you ever try to snow Him? I mean, you just cover Him up with everything and you don't listen for His voice. Well, I kind of caught myself trying to snow Him, you know, telling Him everything and what He ought to do and how to do it and all. And so I'd just be quiet before the Lord. And then I'd let Him bring the verses into my mind, let Him bring people into my mind, and I noticed what a difference. And I believe that has something to do with praying in the Spirit. Not just praying, but praying in the Spirit. When you're waiting on Him to speak, and then He'll tell you what to do. All right. When I remember thee upon the bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. See, meditation is the key to knowing Jesus. It's not memory. Memory just gets you ready to meditate. If you're going to memorize verses on Jesus, then you've got to come back and think on them and ponder on them and remember them if they're going to get down into your life. Meditation is the key in the night watches. And then he says, because thou hast been my help. You know, that should restore us if we can look in the past and see that he has helped us in the past. Has God used you in the past? That'll help you in the future. I know yesterday's ball game won't win today's, but it might encourage you to hit another one. See, that won't change the score today, but it might encourage you to hit another one today. Then he says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. That's a good saying. Here he's talking about the protection of God. He says, you know, here's the world, the flesh, and the devil, and everything is after us today. And he said, God is like this big old hen, and we can go sliding under this hen, and we're protected from the hawks, or the evil birds, or evil things. He is our protection. And then in 8, I got here again, I got our part, his part, apply. My soul followeth close behind thee, or hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I think there's two great truths there, and we got to get both. You can make a decision to follow hard after God, but you're going to have to depend upon Him to carry you through. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I don't think we just say, I'm going to be spiritual. Well, unless you got a basis of a hunger after God, the basis is Jesus. You know who's going to do the producing, and you just know you're the cooperator. So you have to do the cooperation. And then in closing, verse 11. Here the king made a wise decision, and you can make a wise decision here on knowing God. But the king shall rejoice in God. You have to make a commitment. You know, to be saved, when I was 12 years old and Mr. Cox took me in a little back room and showed me the Roman road, I had to make a decision to reject what the Word says or to apply what the Word says. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Well, if you're going to know God, he says, but the king shall rejoice in God. That's a decision. And I've noticed when you vote in favor of him, he just opens up the windows of heaven and gives you all the strength and all the grace that you need to follow hard after him. I hope this has been a little help to you this morning in really knowing God, having a strong desire for God. And tonight, we're going to talk about who Jesus is in Hebrews, the first chapter. If you'd like to look through that tonight, well, it might help you as we go through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And then he is worthy to be worshipped. Our Father and our God, we pray that you might take these few words and make them real and make them practical and help us to apply them. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name that we ask it and for his sake alone.